everybody. Welcome to the Hidden Gems podcast. This is a show where we like to look at streaming services and tell you about some of the hidden gems that are on those services. And it's so much fun. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Ryan is here.
Hello, stranger. It has been too long.
Yes. Yeah, things just got super busy. And I had the Oscars video, and then I had the box office predictions and for Fridays. So yeah, I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you too. Seriously though, Jeremiah was asking about us, like, where'd you go? No, but yeah, though, it's great to be back.
Yes. And I guess it's news. I got a little part-time job that I'm starting this week. Yeah, I'm going to be working in a movie theater just for some little bit of extra money to add to kind of all the different balls I have in the air. I don't know how that's going to affect my content, but I don't think it will too much. I don't think it will too much. But anyway, that's exciting. I'm starting on Tuesday.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside of the occasional spill, both of food and drink and, well, the bodily variety, I have no complaints about working in a movie theater for 3.5 years.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good experiences from my people I know that have worked in movie theaters, and particularly for Cinemark, I've heard really good things. So it's just going to be a few hours a week. It's not a huge commitment, but I'm excited. What about you? We have any news?
Well, just plugging away, preparing for my 10K in October. I have a target date in sight, October 27th. Looking forward to it.
Nice.
My time that I've been doing lately, and I've nailed it down to about 49 minutes. And that's including, like, because how my route works is that it's at a crosswalk. So I got to wait, like I got to run there. I got to hit the button. I got to wait for the thing to show the guy, like the red hand, the white guy,
the bird to yeah,
you gotta tell me you can go now, because you would be surprised how traffic works. But I'm keeping a good pace. I'm really happy with how my progress is going there. The YouTube channel's going really good. I've got two series going at the same time. I've got my Road to Asteroid City, watching all of the Wes Anderson movies and reviewing those. It has been more interesting than I was anticipating, because I love Fantastic Mr. Fox, I love Moonrise Kingdom, love Isle of Dogs, so I'm thinking this is going to be a cakewalk. No, like, the first few films of Wes's are really rough. Like, Bottle Rocket's good. Rushmore, I liked it, but I just did not like how this old man and this little boy, in quotes, we're just going after each other, like cutting brake lines and stuff. I'm like, it's not that serious, guys. And then the Royal Tenenbaums was just, I did not like that movie at all. But I'm going to have reviews for two of those. Royal Tenenbaums will be actually today as of the dropping of this. Mm. And Royal Tenenbaums was just not fun. But I'm up to Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, which was very good. So it's been a little rough there, but we're finally getting into Life Aquatic's good. And then after that is Darjeeling Limited, which I've never seen. And then it's Fantastic Mr. Fox. And then we're smooth sailing.
Yeah, I didn't love Life Aquatic. I did it for Blind Spot last year. And I don't know. I can't remember why I didn't like it, but it wasn't my favorite. But I agree with you about Rushmore, that it's just kind of mean-spirited. It doesn't work for me. But yeah, I know a lot of fans, that's their favorite. So I don't know. It's just interesting. I think when you're introduced to it, if you were introduced to it when you were like a teenager, I think that maybe makes a bit of a difference. But yeah, not my favorite. But well,
my entry point into Wes Anderson was Fantastic Mr. Fox. So I started out with one of his very best films. So
yeah, that's a good one.
No room to go but down, I guess. But looking forward to reviewing that. I've been looking for an excuse to review that movie for a while now. So what better than his latest film to do it?
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell people what we're doing today for Hidden Gems?
So this is the May and the June preview. It's looking at the list that you compiled. Thank you so much for that, by the way. There's honestly things on here that I did not expect or even really look out for, but it kind of runs a trend. Like, I wouldn't expect to see something like this, but I watched the trailer for it. And I'm like, wow, that's actually promising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did keep it mostly two films on streaming, and there was actually a pretty good bunch. Some of them are series, but yeah, I was able to get a pretty good list of films to streaming. So there's, because for a while there, it seemed like there was hardly any. And thankfully, so many movies are now going to theaters, but we have a lot of these films have gotten like festival runs and now are going to be on the streaming services. But let's dive in and let's start with Apple. And we have still a Michael J. Fox movie, and this was at Sundance. What do you think of the trailer?
I really enjoyed it. Michael J. Fox is one of those actors who, I feel really sorry for, because I have no real knowledge of Parkinson's disease, but from what I have read about it, it just does not sound fun. And just from the interviews I've seen of him, he seems to be someone who is very, he seems very positive about his outlook. And this is coming from mm-hmm. someone who in like the early to mid to late 80s, he was like on top of the world, Back to the Future. I know he was in a series. I can't think of the title. I'm sure you all know the one I'm talking about, but he was very successful. He had a very successful career. And so he's one of those celebrities that I don't hear about a lot. And that's how I prefer it. Seems like,
oh, you mean he was in Growing Pains?
Growing Pains. That's the one. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. This, seems like a, you know, worthwhile celeb documentary where he actually has something, I think, to say, and I think it'll be moving to watch.
Yeah. Take the Val documentary we got about a year ago, this, and the eventual one on Brendan Fraser, and the trilogy of actors we all love but we didn't hear about for a while trilogy will be complete.
So if you were saying 1 to 4 excitement level, where would you say this one?
I'll go 3.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So next we have Platonic. And this stars Rose Byrne and Seth Rogen. And friends don't let friends have midlife crisis alone. And what did you think of this trailer?
I think I've said it in other areas, but I'm just not a big Seth Rogen guy. I think he is it's kind of like Will Ferrell for me. He's very one note. If you've seen one of his jokes, you've seen them all pretty much. I think this looked interesting. I like the concept of these two just being friends and nothing more. Mm-hmm. I am slightly optimistic, but heavy emphasis on the slightly.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of worry that they'll abandon the platonic part of it and it'll end up them getting together.
That's what I'm afraid of too, because I was watching this and I was thinking to myself, yeah, okay, this I think I know how this is gonna end. Is like something happens, they get close, and then they're torn apart, and then they come mm-hmm. back together again right off into the sunset.
Yeah, and it just felt like it was leading there, and it didn't in the trailer, but it's a series, 10 episodes. And I do have to say, I mean, Apple TV has been extremely solid with their series. I mean, their movies, but especially their series with, you know, things like Ted Lasso and I think the name also Acapulco and other really good shows. The Morning Show, I know, is very popular. So they do have that going for them. And I do think, I felt like Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne had a nice chemistry in the trailer. So I'd definitely be willing to give this a shot and check out the pilot and see if, you know, see what it does. I'd probably give this 2.5 out of 4.
I'll go I'll go two.
Okay, so then we have Love Again, and this is our rom-com. And let me get the, sorry, let me get the summary. Okay, then we have Love Again, and this is a young woman tries to ease the pain of her fiancé's death by sending out romantic texts to his old cell phone number and forms a connection with the man the number has been reassigned to. What do you think of this trailer?
So I covered this as part of my Life in the Movies podcast with Jacob Martin for our monthly preview, and I said in that, I don't think this movie understands how cell phones work, because how can you send messages to a phone number that's like to a debt? It's weird. But once
the idea is this, that somebody else gets his number and she starts texting to that number and he starts responding. And there's actually a Hallmark movie with that same plot that I love, Deliver by Christmas. Is one of my favorites. I was fine with the premise. I do think it's a little bit weird to have the one of the Jonas brother, the one that she's married to, in the movie, because that's, you'd think that you don't want to be presenting somebody that she might have more chemistry with than the end guy. Yeah. So that's a little risky. Joe, I think it's Joe Jonas, I think. Anyway. But Priyanka Chopra Jonas and Sam Heughan, I think they're both a little on the bland side as far as their acting, but actually I think the premise sounds kind of cute. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope it'll be good.
Yeah, I'll go two.
Celine Dion is in it.
Yeah, and she's also doing the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, just cause I love rom-coms, so I'm optimistic. I'm going to give it a 3, but we'll see. What about you?
I said 2.5.
Okay. Okay. All right. So then we have a remake. We're now moving on to Disney Plus. We have a remake, White Men Can't Jump. And this is the remake of the 1992 film about a pair of basketball hustlers who team up to earn extra cash. So this, I thought it looked pretty fun. I mean, Disney Plus original movies have had a bad track record, but I actually haven't seen the original. I need to catch up on that. But what about you? What do you think?
This, I'm sure this movie will have an audience, but I am not a part of that audience. I thought this trailer was, it wasn't great. And again, it wasn't for me. I thought there was the elongated joke about Jack Harlow's like yoga pants. I'm like, is that the best you got? Like, come on. So again, it's probably going to be for someone. It just won't be for me.
Okay. So what would you give it?
Like 1.5.
I'd give it a 2. We'll see. I think maybe if I'd seen the original, I don't know if that would make me like it less or like it more. I don't know. But I've heard good things about the original. All right. Next, we have Charles in His Own Words. And this is coming to as part of National Geographic for Disney Plus. And this is about King Charles. A rare view into the real Charles, revealing the formative events that have influenced the man, former prince and the king he was destined to be. We got the coronation coming, and I think I'm kind of interested just to learn more with the coronation. Yeah, I would give this like 3. I'm kind of curious to learn more about him.
You know, I feel a little bad for the guy. I mean, with the queen's death, which I'm not super involved with that kind of stuff. I've only heard bits and pieces over the years. All I know, royal family wise, is that Prince Harry's book is selling like hotcakes. Like, I can tell just from the library. We can't keep it in the library. Every time it returns, it traps for someone else.
Right.
So it's particularly relevant right now. But I'd be interested in this too, because like I said, I feel slightly bad for the guy. I mean, he's getting a little older and is like, oh, now you're the king. And like, But Elizabeth has been it for like longer than
Long
most people
time.
have been alive. So
Yeah.
it's like she, like he's going to be inheriting like one hell of a legacy.
Yeah, it was almost 70 years that she was queen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he obviously like didn't treat Diana well. But yeah, I feel like a little bit sorry for the guy, the fact that he had to marry her. Like, he was in love with Camilla, but she was married to somebody else, and he couldn't marry a divorced, woman and all this stuff. I don't know. The situation just was not ideal. If you want to learn more about it, watch the movie The Queen. That one's really good with Helen Mirren, kind of showing the whole situation. So what would you give it?
I would give it 2.5.
Okay. Then next on Disney Plus, we have a movie called Crater, and this is after the death of his father, a boy growing up on a lunar mining colony takes a trip to explore a legendary crater along with his four best friends prior to being permanently relocated to another planet. This stars McKenna Grace. So what did you think of this trailer?
You know, when I covered this in the monthly preview I did with Jacob, I wasn't too particularly high on it, I think. But I think after watching it again, I think this could be fun. It's something original from Disney, which is almost a rare breed nowadays. So it's I'm thinking this might be a diamond in the rough. I think I will go 3.
Yeah, it looked pretty cute. Like I said, the Disney Plus does not have a great track record in their original films. But I like McKenna Grace, and I think it looks pretty cute. But okay, so I would give it 3. We'll be optimistic. Okay, so then we have a series called American Born Chinese. And this is Jin Wang is an average teenager balancing high school and home life. When he meets a new foreign student on the first day of the school, even more worlds collide as Jin is unwittingly entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. So what do you think of this one?
I'm pretty sure that they wanted to say this in the trailer, but they couldn't. Mom, can we have everything everywhere all at once? We've got everything everywhere all at once at home. Everything everywhere at once all at home. I might be particularly harsh, but it literally has Michelle Yeoh and Ke Huy Quan in this. And
And
there is.
Stephanie, who's Sue.
And Stephanie Soo, and it involves parallel universes. I mean, Disney, what are we doing here? You literally are just copy paste, and I'm sure that this will be a little lighter than what we got with Everything Everywhere All at Once. I don't think there will be a scene in which the two main characters are rocks and talking about how useful or useless life is. But at the same time, I was just sitting there like, how much more blatant can this get? I think the Daniels might have a bit of a case here.
I mean, I guess I can see what you're saying. What maybe because I wasn't as crazy about Everywhere All at Once as other people were. I didn't dislike it. I recommended it, but I felt like it was a little try hard at times. And so the idea of like a more toned down version actually sounds kind of appealing to me, because especially things like The Rocks and some other stuff, I just kind of rolled my eyes a little bit at. But this I can see that it has some of the same sort of inspiration, but I thought it looked pretty fun, creative. And nice to see like a diverse series on Disney Plus. It's six, I know, 8 episodes. So yeah, that's a valid point, but didn't really bother me. So I'm pretty high on it. I'm excited about it. I would give it, I think I might give it a 4. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm gonna go 2. I think this may be our biggest disagreement.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Next up is called A Small Light. And if you haven't had a chance to watch my red carpet coverage on my channel that I got to do at South by Southwest, I actually still haven't seen it. But I got to interview all of the stars, and that was a really cool experience. And I think it looks very good. It's a National Geographic series about Meep Geis, who's the woman who hid and the Frank family, Anne Frank, and the rest of the people. And I think it looks really good. It's going to have the depictions of everything that's happening, plus I think some documentary type content, I think. Yeah, that was just a super cool experience for me to get to cover a red carpet. I'd never done it before. And I think it looks solid. What do you think?
I think this has potential. I remember popping because Liev Schreiber is going to be in this, and I like him. You know, I'm really big into like World War II stuff. I like stuff like that. I love learning mm-hmm. about that war. And this is a story that I had actually had no knowledge of before, which is even better.
Oh yeah, you didn't know about Meep Geis?
No, I can't say that I have.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I knew of her because I've read the diary, Anne Frank diary, but I didn't know a lot about her. So I'm looking forward to watching it once I actually get to watch it, especially after covering the red carpet. So what would you give this one? 1 to 4?
I will go 3.
Mm-hmm. I may give it a 4. I'm really excited to finally watch it. Okay, so let's talk about Star Wars Visions Season 2. And this is a Star Wars anthology series that will see some of the world's best anime creators bring their talent to this beloved universe. So what do you think of this?
I actually didn't see Season 1 of Star Wars Visions. It was during it was in the middle of that couple year burnout period where it was I was just not really looking forward to anything Star Wars related, with the exception of maybe Mandalorian. So I wasn't really looking forward to it, but then I heard good things. So I said to myself, I'll check it out, and I never did. But just from this trailer, I got to admit, I like the concept of saying, okay, here's the Star Wars universe to these other studios, give it your best shot. I like that. I like the spirit of that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first series. I thought it was really cool, and it's such a great way to introduce people to all these great anime. And it was fun because it had a lot of variety, and not just in the style, but also in this tone and subject matter and everything. It's one of my favorite Star Wars things that they have made since Disney, if not my favorite. So yeah, I think it's really cool, and I'm looking forward to see what this new crop brings to the table. I give it a 4. I'm really looking forward to it.
I will go 3.5.
Yeah. All right. So then we have The Muppets Mayhem. And this is a new series. Let's see how many episodes. Just 10. 10 episodes, and follow the Muppets band as they try to record their first ever album. And it sort of looks like it's a mockumentary style, at least to start. And I am starting Muppet May this month for the 6th year on my channel. So I'm going to be covering this as one of the weeks for Muppet May. But I'm really excited about Muppet May because since I've done it for 6 years, I've covered all of the, the big name stuff. So we're getting into more obscure stuff, which is actually, I think, really fun to kind of find these more obscure projects. But I am going to be covering this Muppet Mayhem. I love the Muppets. I think it looks pretty funny. And so I'm going to give it a 4. I'm looking forward to it. What do you think?
When I saw at the end of this trailer, I said to myself, Rachel's going to be all over them.
Yes.
I think it looks fun. I'm going to go 3. I'm a softie for the Muppets, so I think this has potential.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, great. Okay, so then we have on FX or Hulu, we have Class of 09. In this another 8-episode series, FBI agents who graduated from Quantico in 2009 are reunited following the death of a mutual friend. What'd you think of this trailer?
I think this looked very intriguing. I think FX has slowly been... I think Hulu has really helped FX kind of with just distributing, because FX has had a pretty solid track record in the TV show department, Sons of Anarchy mm-hmm. just being one example. Yeah. I really enjoyed the one with Steve Carell and Domhnall Gleeson. I can't remember that one. But it was really good. And then I'm sure someone will know, but I've heard good things about The Bear. I want to
watch
that. So I think this is another one that I think I will jump into with both feet. I'm going to go 4. And
this is stars Brian Tyree Henry, a recent Oscar nominee, mm-hmm. and Kate Mara. So
I'm a fan of both of those actors.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then we're moving to, we'll do the other one for Hulu. It's called The Clearing. And let's see here. Sorry. Let me find that. Okay. Then there's The Clearing. And this is a woman is forced to confront the nightmares of her past in order to stop a secret cult intent on gathering children to fulfill its master plan. And this stars Teresa Palmer, Guy Pearce. What did you think of this trailer?
I think this one also looked pretty intriguing. It was, from the trailer, it looked a little vague, but it intrigued mm-hmm. me.
Yeah. It looked pretty scary, I thought.
Yeah, it definitely leans more in the psychological horror route, which I'm a big fan of. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go 3.5.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3. It might be too scary for my taste, because it's one thing to watch like a scary movie. It's another thing to watch a show, you know, or like, I don't know if it's for me. But it looked pretty quality. It looked pretty good. All right, let's go to HBO Max. We have 1000% Me, Growing Up Mixed. This documentary, what'd you think?
I thought this looked interesting. I just from this trailer, I thought it looked fascinating, kind of looking into the lives of these children who are like half of one, half of the other. Another perspective. I like it. I like the spirit of it.
Yeah, it looked pretty cute, I think. It looked like something that, and HBO does have a pretty good track record with their documentaries.
Yeah, but considering this is HBO, I imagine they're going to get into some dark stuff. Like HBO uses dark material, like Vincent Van Gogh used paint. So like they draw ornate canvases with the dark and the solid.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely have no fear when it comes to the documentaries. But I think that could make it interesting and insightful. I'd give it a 3. I think it's not going to like break any boundaries or anything, but I think it'll be good. Then we also have another documentary from HBO with Love to Love You, Donna Summer. So this is one of those celebrity docs. What did you think?
I honestly was like, Donna Summer, who is that? And then she started singing and I'm like, oh, that's who she is. She's awesome. So, this is another one where like, you couldn't, like, if you told me the name Donna Summer, it'd be like, who? But then you're like, she works hard for the money. I'm like, I know exactly who that is. So this was really interesting.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones that probably for her fans will enjoy it the most. I'm not a fan. I just not super familiar with it. But I think it will be a fun watch. I like getting to know the backstories behind people. I like that. All right. Then we have another documentary. Well, this is Then we have another documentary series called Angel City. And this is three episodes, and it goes behind the scenes and onto the pitch of the groundbreaking Los Angeles-based professional women's soccer team, Angel City Football Club. Follows the origin story through the 2022 inaugural season of the female-founded and led team. And evidently, Jennifer Garner and Natalie Portman are both involved. So what'd you think?
I feel like they wanted to make like a female version of Welcome to Wrexham because of the whole thing with Ryan Reynolds and
the dude
from Rob McElhenney and the success of the football club and that show. I don't want to sound like that guy or anything, but when I was just watching this, I was like, celebrities investing in a soccer club and trying to get them bigger. Where have I seen this before?
That's true. I honestly hadn't thought of that, but it's a valid point.
I mean, if it is a coincidence, then, you know, I will take that. It was just a coincidence. I mean, football is a very popular sport. Like European football is a very popular sport, and it has its fans in America. So I'm not going to cast it aside. But when I finished watching this, I was like, you might as well have named this like Welcome to Angel or like Welcome to Angel City or something like that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I didn't even think of that, but yeah, it could still be sort of interesting even on that level of seeing the similarities and like how the women maybe struggle more with the same idea. It could be interesting.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And what I liked about Welcome to Wrexham is the business side of things, that you can put money into something all you want, but if it doesn't produce, then what's even the point? So it would definitely be interesting to see what Angel City does with that. So
yeah,
I will at the very least give it a 2.5.
Yeah, I think that's good. All right. So then we have another little series called White House Plumbers. This is 5 episodes. It stars Woody Harrelson and Justin Theroux, Lena Headey, and it is a 5-part series that tells the true story of how Nixon's own political saboteurs and Watergate masterminds E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy accidentally toppled the presidency they were trying to protect. I think that this looks great. I think this could have big like Emmy and stuff potentials. It is TV mature, of course. But I don't know. I thought it looked really funny and entertaining. So I think I might watch this, give it a shot. What do you think?
It looks interesting, and I am a fan of Woody Harrelson, so my interest went a little higher with that knowledge. This seems like a very interesting story because, you know, Watergate was just crazy. Like there's a part of me that would have liked to have lived in that time, like before social media, before all that, because Watergate happened in social media today. You could never escape it.
Oh, no. No. But it's interesting because, not to get too into politics or anything, but like what they did, like the more, it was more about the lying about it than anything else. I mean, it wasn't good what they did, but it was almost more the lying about it that got particularly Nixon into trouble. But you think about that and what other recent presidents have gotten away with. It's an interesting comparison. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a cheap plug. If you all are interested, on HBO Max right now, and I've recommended it on this show before, watch Nixon by Nixon. It's basically a documentary of basically all the private conversations in the White House that Nixon had with various people, his staff, like dignitaries, among others. The dude was kind of seedy, like from the word jump. So it doesn't surprise me that he would try and do something like that. And this is not some political stance or anything. I don't care about that really all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But just watching that documentary, I'm like, you're pretty much asking for it there, Richard.
Mm-hmm. So he certainly was a narcissist. That's for sure. Yeah. I would give it this though a 4. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I'll go 3.5. And just a bit, if you do watch the documentary, the language is very like mature. Basically Nixon cursed like a sailor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next up, we have that we're into Netflix. We have the Mother, and this stars Jennifer Lopez. And it's while fleeing from dangerous assailants, an assassin comes out of hiding to protect her daughter that she left earlier in life. What do you think about this?
I think this looked okay. I like the idea of a woman having a child and then basically having to go back into her old life and then leaving the child behind only to try and come back to try and save the child. I think that could be fascinating, but I think the movie looked just kind of there to me, if that makes any sense.
I think it looked kind of bad. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe I don't really trust Jennifer Lopez, even though she has done some good stuff with Hustlers and other films. I don't know. It looked kind of cheesy to me, like her like headbutting people and like big explosions. And I don't know. Didn't look great to me. But
what did you think of the movie she did with Vanessa Hudgens, second act?
Oh, second half. The only thing about that, I think it was an okay movie, but they billed it as a rom-com and it was not a rom-com.
No, it wasn't. I enjoyed the movie personally,
yeah,
but that was very much not a romantic movie. I mean, I think we see her husband in the movie maybe like 4 or 5 times total. It's more about the relationship between her and Vanessa Hudgens, who is her daughter that she had to give up. Like that was far more intriguing than whatever romantic stuff may have been going on.
Agreed. But yeah, I give this a 2.
I echo that too.
Okay, then we have Extraction 2, and this is, they don't have much of a summary. It just says sequel to the 2020 action thriller Extraction. So what did you think of the original, and what are you looking forward to the sequel?
So I've not seen the first Extraction. I've heard mixed things. Mm-hmm. I've heard the action is really good. So I think this will give me some impetus to try and go back and see this one. Because, you know, especially with recent news of Chris Hemsworth's health, I think we should cherish any movie that we get with him, because his time is incredibly limited from what I hear.
I hadn't heard that.
Alzheimer's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Let me look it up.
It's directed by Sam Hargrave, who is a stunt guy. And so, the stunts are very impressive in the first one. The plot was fine. It's pretty generic. But I enjoyed it well enough. Writer Joe Russo from the Russo brothers, wrote it, which they haven't had a great track record lately, but I think this will probably be serviceable. It'll be a, you know, okay streaming movie.
So I looked it up. He doesn't actually have Alzheimer's. He's just at high risk for it. And he announced that he's going to be taking fewer gigs.
Okay.
I mean, he's got the money to retire. So I imagine like taking his health into account, like thumbs up to him for that. So.
Yeah. So what would you give this one?
2.5. From what I saw in the trailer, it looked fun.
Yeah, I agree. 2.5. All right, so then we have Death's Roulette, and this is on Paramount Plus. 7 people are kidnapped and suddenly find themselves part of a deadly game. This is, I think, a Spanish originally show, or movie, but it looked pretty scary, I thought. It was pretty tense.
I feel like this director binged all the Saw movies and both escape room movies and is like, I've got an idea. And I've only seen a few Saw movies and I've seen both escape room movies. I actually really like those escape room movies. I think they're very compelling. But at the same time, when I was watching this, I was like, yeah, this is definitely like a version of escape room. I think it could be very compelling, but at the same time, it like feels kind of derivative.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any of those, but I did think, even just knowing the premise of the Saw movies, that I kind of made me wonder if you know, was kind of feeding off of that. Okay. So we have Intelligence, a Special Agent Special. This is on Peacock. And it's Intelligence is a workplace comedy set in the UK's government communications headquarters where they tackle international and domestic cyber crime. David Schwimmer stars as Jerry Bernstein, a pompous NSA agent from the US, and Nick Mohammed from Ted Lasso plays Joseph, his inept computer analyst sidekick. What did you think of this?
I'm not sure because I like David Schwimmer from Band of Brothers. I know he was in Friends. I've never seen Friends. Don't come at me. I've just never seen it. But he was the really like overbearing commanding officer in Band of Brothers, and he was really good in it, and I wanted to punch him. But I think that was his job, so there you go. I didn't really laugh all that much at this. I think it was kind of cringy, but I could be wrong.
I thought it looked kind of fun. I don't know. Jennifer Saunders, I love her as well. She's in at least a guest role. So yeah, we'll see. It's hard to tell. It's a pretty short little promo. It's only about 30 seconds. So it's hard to tell. But I'd be willing to give it a shot. So I'd say 2.5 probably on it.
I'll go just a 2.
Okay. Then we have Shooting Stars. And this is based on the book by LeBron James and the Pulitzer Prize winning author of Friday Night Lights, Buzz Bissinger. Shooting Stars is the origin story, inspiring origin story of a basketball superhero, revealing how LeBron James and his childhood friends became the number one high school team in the country, launching James's breathtaking career as a four-time NBA champion, two-time Olympic gold medalist, and the NBA's all-time leading scorer. What do you think? And this is another short little promo.
I felt like this could have been a podcast. Like this whole movie just could have been just like LeBron and his friends just talking about this. But I mean, at the same time, I'm not super into basketball, but I like things about basketball. I know that sounds weird, but there you go. So could be fun.
Yeah, I'm not like super into sports, but I do like movies about sports. It looked a little much. I mean, I think people that are big fans of LeBron will appreciate it. I don't have anything against him, but I don't know if it'll interest me, but could be interesting. I would give it like 2, I think.
Yeah, I'll do 2.
Okay. And so then we have, and wasn't sure which streamer this is going to go to, but I thought it was worth talking about. We have BlackBerry, the story of the meteoric rise and catastrophic demise of the world's first smartphone. And this stars Jay Baruchel, Glenn Howerton. I think this looks pretty interesting. I mean, it's going to be interesting at the end of the year to do the how did this get made ranking, because we've gotten Tetris, there's a Flaming Hot movie coming out about the invention Flaming Hot Cheetos. We have Air.
Wait. Flaming Hot.
Yeah, there's a movie with Eva Longoria.
I gotta look this up.
I think it was a
flame.
Yeah.
Richard Montañez, the Frito-Lay janitor who channeled his Mexican-American heritage and upbringing to turn Flaming Hot Cheetos into a snack that disrupted the... Oh my God. This is coming out in June.
Oh, it's the summer one. Okay. yeah, directed by Eva Longoria.
Yeah, Tony Shalhoub is... Yeah. Tony Shalhoub and Dennis Haysbert are in this. Why am I just hearing about this now? Holy crap.
Yeah. So it's going to be, this is just the year of the how did things get made movies.
Yeah, well, nothing's going to beat Air because Air was fantastic.
Air was really good. But what do you think of the BlackBerry? I think that's interesting. It looks good to me.
Yeah, because I remember I would think I was like in the last like generation where BlackBerries were sort of novel, and then the iPhone came and just like blew it out of the water completely. Yeah. So I I remember seeing Blackberries in movies and like watching them and say something like, say, The Bourne Ultimatum. I'm just sitting there like, man, 2007 was certainly a time. But I think this could be interesting. I'll go 2.5.
Yeah, I think I'll go 3. I think it looks really interesting. Okay, last movie. This, I think, is on Amazon, will be on Amazon Prime. I'm not positive, but it's called Hypnotic. And it's a detective investigates a mystery involving his missing daughter and a secret government program. Director Robert Rodriguez, and it stars Ben Affleck and Alice Braga. And it's, yeah. So what do you think? Do you think this looks like a good mystery?
I think it does. I'm a big fan of Robert Rodriguez's work that I have seen. I like Alita. So I think and him and Ben Affleck, I think this looks like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it looks pretty good. So I'd give this a 3.
Yeah, I'll go 3 as well.
Yeah. So there we go. We did it.
All right.
Let us know if there's something streaming that you're excited for. We didn't really get into that many series. So if there's something new, there's the Bridgerton series, but I've already seen it. So I didn't feel like it was fair to talk about Queen Charlotte. A couple other series. So let us know what you're excited for. And yeah, thanks so much. And Ryan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at RyanCam20. There's a like, did I say, my, I said my YouTube. It's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at RyanCam20. There you go.
Great.
Road to Asteroid City series going. And then my Road to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse series is also going on. The last Sunday dropped my Spider-Man 2 review with Jacob Martin. This coming Sunday will be my review of Spider-Man 3 with Brevin Thompson from Brevin's Flicks and Games. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to have a guest for every Spider-Man movie that's been released, though, that I haven't reviewed. I'm not touching the MCU ones because I've already reviewed those. So for the web movies, The Amazing Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2, I'm going to have Ryan from Real Spective on, and that's going to be very fun. And then for Into the Spider-Verse, because I've been itching to re-review that, I got Mike from The Novice Cinephile. So it's going to be just a great series, and I'm so looking forward to Across the Spider-Verse. It looks amazing. And then a couple new reviews as they come out. So if you haven't checked me out, please do.
Great. Yeah, you should all definitely check it out. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Check that out. Also, make sure you check out the Hallmarkies podcast. Lots of good stuff going on over there. And please like this video if you're listening on or watching on YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. That really helps us a lot. And check out the Patreon group. That's the biggest way you can support us. And also the merch store. Get lots of fun stuff over there. So check that out. And thanks so much, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.